So you know Unity was founded on healing. Okay, last week I told you Unity was founded on prayer. So specifically, it was the power of prayer to heal. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, middle-aged couple in Kansas City, started investigating spiritual healing in the late 1800s. They both healed themselves of lifelong problems, and I'll tell you their personal stories later in this series. But as they began to share what they had learned, Unity was born. After this summer, with so many of you and other people we know in the hospital and sick, healing has been on my mind. Some of you are back now, some aren't yet. And many of you have used spiritual healing through the years, or you're working with it now, and many of you are healers. So I don't purport to be an expert on healing. I have not had a major illness or injury. But we do have extensive writings from both Charles and Myrtle Fillmore about the principles of healing. So this series is based on what they had to say. They insisted it's all about thought. Charles wrote, "Your degree of health is determined by your thoughts, past and present." And Myrtle wrote, "These sick and diseased bodies are results of flagrant errors that men have made in their attempts to solve the problem of life without divine help." Which kind of sounds like you're a spiritual failure if you're sick. So I have a couple of concerns for this series. I'm afraid I'll sound glib. Well, just change your thinking and you'll get well. And I'm afraid I'll sound as if it's your fault. Well, you know, if you'd changed your thoughts along the way, you wouldn't be sick now. I know a woman who spent years in Unity, not in this church, who is now a Methodist, partly because when she got sick, she felt like it was her fault. I assume none of you would say that to anyone else. I've told you that's metaphysical malpractice. You let other people work out for themselves why they might be sick or what to do about it. But we are studying spiritual principles of healing. We do believe in the power of mind over body. So it is about thought, not every random thought, but our deepest beliefs. And Myrtle would have been the first to say it was her belief in illness that kept her sick the first half of her life. The good news is, if we create our own illness, we can create our own healing. Myrtle said there's nothing that can't be cured. Abraham Hicks has been saying for years we could even regrow limbs if we believed we could. Anita Morjani, who wrote Dying to Be Me, died of cancer and came back from her near-death experience cancer-free. So we know great healing is possible, and we're all going to die. Illness might not be our fault, it might be our plan. So as always, I'm not going to have ultimate answers for you. And I know you will have more questions like, what about people born with birth defects? What about people whose brains don't allow them to think their way into good health, like mental illness? We were talking in our book group last Tuesday about all the children being born now to teach us to live with differences. Many of them don't meet the standards of normal, and we have labels for it, ADHD, autism, the sensory overload thing, severe food allergies. And their parents love them and wouldn't say there's anything wrong with them. They're just different. So what if illness is just different? Does it have to mean we're broken and need to be fixed? You need to know before we go forward that Unity makes a distinction between healing and curing. Curing is when the physical body gets well. Healing can be many things. It can be forgiveness on a deathbed. It can be the family coming together. It can be releasing the past. It can be looking at life in a new way or learning through someone else's illness or disability. There can be great healing even when a body doesn't get well. You might have seen that in your families, particularly around a death. Many people can be healed by one person's illness. So as we talk the next few weeks, remember that broader definition of healing. This series is called 10 Steps to Healing. A few years ago, I taught a couple of classes at Unity Church of the Hills in Austin on what Charles and Myrtle Fillmore had written about healing. Charles has two books specifically about it. And from Myrtle, we have letters that she wrote to people who asked her to pray for their healing. So I boiled what they said down into 10 steps for healing. These are not official Unity. It's just what I see in the Fillmore's writings. And it's things like non-resistance, forgiveness, prayer, things you're familiar with. We'll just apply it specifically to healing. We'll take two a week, starting today with joy and oneness, because I wanted to start on a high note. Joy as a part of healing. We're really more familiar with it now. There was a best-selling book in 1979 written by Norman Cousins, who was a journalist and a peace advocate, who said that he eased the pain of crippling arthritis by laughing. 10 minutes of laughing at a Marx Brothers movie gave him 2 hours of pain-free sleep. But decades earlier, Charles Fillmore was writing about the healing powers of joy and laughter. Charles had a lot of ideas about how the mind influences the body. And I love reading his medical descriptions because they're totally based on his intuition. So he said, fears stop the flow of life and lead to congestion in the body, especially around the heart. He said, fear holds your heart like a vice, and the way to shatter fear is laughter. You remember the laughing yoga we did at the most recent strengths workshop? Some of you were there. Didn't you leave feeling on top of the world? That's healing, that kind of joy. And Fillmore was right. We have studies now that show laughter lowers blood pressure, eases pain, boosts immunity, and fights tumor cells. Laughter even counts as aerobic exercise. There you go. The laughter yoga people say you don't have to be laughing at something. It doesn't require humor. Just the physical act of laughing is healthy. You can fake it. Fillmore also advocated singing. He said, back of every true song is a thought of joy. And he said, when you turn your mind to God, you will naturally burst into song. You can quickly be released from the prison of pain or grief if you will sing and praise and pray. So he said we should all learn to sing. Every cell in the body is involved in singing, he said, and its vibrations break up crystallized conditions. He said the world needs a new hymnal with words of truth only and music so strong and powerful that it will penetrate to the very center of the soul. I'd like to teach the world to sing. He didn't know the song, and now it will be in your minds all day. But here's the question. How do you get to joy or laughter or singing when you're sick, when you hurt? When I'm sick or hurting, I don't want to hear all that spiritual stuff. Everything I know goes out the window. So to learn more about finding joy within illness, I called an expert, a woman that I consider very joyful, but I know she lives in constant pain. And she said, it's a choice. You choose the life you have, and life's too short to live in darkness. She very consciously does things to bring joy into her life. One is to draw out joy from other people. She says she has just become a magnet for grumpy people. And so when they show up, she finds ways to remind them of their joy. She reflects their forgotten joy to them. It doesn't always work, but she said when she gets to see them move from darkness to light, it's a rush for her. She called it an explosion of joy. Another way she adds joy to her life is by giving. She said giving is really a selfish act because the more you give, the more you receive. And she was honest enough to say she does not wake up feeling this way. She works at Joy, but she's living with a physical condition that won't get better. So she makes Joy a spiritual practice. Charles wrote about joy and laughter and singing. Myrtle wrote about contentment. She said the only place to find contentment and health is in your divine consciousness. Nothing outside of you can give it to you. According to your faith, be it done to you, Jesus said. When you connect with the divine love of your soul, you begin to attract new ideas and guidance for handling illness. Sometimes it's being guided to a new doctor or knowing the best treatment. And there's so many decisions to make when you're sick or hurt. Emily Cady, another early Unity writer who was herself a doctor, said, "Go first to God, then to man as God directs. Ask for the guidance." Unity has nothing against doctors, medicine, surgery, blood transfusions, whatever you need. The healing power of the divine can work through the medical profession, traditional or alternative. The important thing for us to remember is who we are. Charles said, if we are not unified with our source, the body gradually disintegrates. Not so gradual, I'm thinking. Spiritual thinking releases our soul energy, our life force. So if joy is the first step to healing, then realization of our wholeness is the second. We were made in the image and likeness of God, and God has never been sick a day. Health is our natural state of being. And the healing principle is always working for you. Even if you're exhausted from positive affirmations and thinking the right things, you can rest and the work will continue on your behalf. Myrtle wrote in How to Let God Help You. She said, "Let me say it again. Stop trying so hard to know that everything is as it should be. Just rest your mind and heart and emotions and body in God mind. When you are truly thinking God, you cannot struggle to do anything." This is the law working. You don't need a miracle. Charles said we don't have words to describe how ideas of health are transformed into light and electrons and atoms and cells and a perfect body. But in whatever way the mind has power over the body, it is not outside of spiritual law. It works within the law, according to the law. Jesus healed by using the law. Myrtle Fillmore answered letters from people who asked for healing prayers. She also did some hands-on healing locally. She was annoyed by people who thought there was some magic in it, or that she had special powers. One of the favorite letters, my favorites, is when someone asked her, "Please send us health vibrations." They said, "Relieve us through the silent unity healing." And she wrote them back and said, "You don't seem to understand. You have to participate in this. You learn about the divine laws of health. You pray daily." But she went on to outline threefold healing. Spiritual is being aware of what she called your God-given freedom from fear and worry. To identify yourself with God, to call on soul qualities or divine attributes that maybe haven't been used yet. Mental is about your thinking, particularly to overcome mass consciousness. Our society has such a deep belief in sickness and aging and fear of it. So to hold thoughts of health and to speak words of health, we'll talk about words next week. And then physical is to do what's best for your body. Form habits that make right use of your life energy. We need all three, spiritual, mental, and physical. Myrtle said most people get focused on one or two and forget the others. So they'll say affirmations all the time but eat junk food. Or they're focused on how to make the perfect green smoothie, but they don't remember they're part of God. She didn't actually write about smoothies. Then Charles Fillmore said, man is the offspring of the Almighty, so he must have characteristics of the parent. The breath or inspiration of the universe is within us. We only have to find a point of contact. He said the point of contact is willingness, your willingness, and seeking on your part. We've been given free will, the ability to make choices, the power to turn our thoughts into things, to make ideas visible in our experience. So don't get discouraged, Charles said. Jesus spent whole nights in prayer. God is seeking to release its perfection in you. Be open to that flow. And Myrtle said, remember, you're not living by yourself and occasionally asking God for help. God is expressing through you, as you. That's what you are. So keep lifting your mind above things of the material world and stay focused on that truth. See the perfect image and likeness of God in yourself and in others when they are sick. She said, all new experiences that try your faith are just opportunities to make the good manifest. Myrtle said, stop believing in disease. Forget the name that has been given to it. Throw out ideas that it can't be changed. Nothing is incurable. And here's what she tells someone who has received a scary diagnosis. She says, he is to begin at once to rejoice that he is the offspring of God, that the life and the substance of his body and the perfect pattern of that life and body are gifts of God, gifts that are in reality inseparably one with God's own being. The very essence of God life and God substance and God intelligence. It is God's plan, you know, to have the creation picture forth, express God's ideas, qualities, and being. It is our purpose in being here to become conscious of and to express in our lives the true pattern and qualities of our Father Mother. We're here to express God. There's one presence and one power in our lives and in the universe, and it includes health. That's who we are, one with the source of all good. So practice being aware of your oneness with the perfection of the divine. Then sing and laugh and be joyful. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. We are grateful to know who we truly are. So in this meditation, as you become still and quiet and turn within, find that point of contact with the divine that is you. There is a part of you that is common to you and to God. Rest there. Be willing to make that connection. Health comes from within. Thoughts of healing transform the cells of your body and shift your emotional outlook. So as Myrtle said, just rest your mind, your heart, your emotions, and your body in God. Know that divine presence and power in your physical being and in your life. Know that there are areas of your soul that have not yet been tapped, eager to serve you, eager to heal you. And know this truth for every person whose health might concern you. They too are made in the image and likeness of God. Health is their natural state of being. So let them rest in God mind. See them surrounded by divine love and intelligence and healing. We know that the divine presence that we find in ourselves is true for everyone else. That every person we love has his or her own connection with a higher power, with the one presence and power. And so we see for them, for those in our congregation who have been ailing, we see that image and likeness of God, that perfect health as their bodies return to natural balance. And as we turn our thoughts to God, as Charles said, we naturally burst into song and say, Alleluia. Amen.
Alleluia.